It would be no small job to know that you were raising the very Son of God. And yet that was the job that Joseph and Mary found themselves involved in. And we learn, though, that Jesus, being God, knowing, of course, that he was God, also remarkably responded to human beings, the ones that he had created. And we read an interesting incident in Luke chapter 2 when Jesus was only 12 years old. And you're familiar, no doubt, this is when Jesus was lost, quote-unquote, by his parents. It took them a few days to kind of reconnect with one another. And this is when Jesus spoke to Mary and Joseph and told them, I have to be about my Father's business, meaning his ultimate Father in heaven. Wonderful words from just a 12-year-old, even though he was God in the flesh. And then we read these interesting words after Jesus had made that remarkable statement. When you come to the end of chapter 2, verse 51 says, then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart about that she knew about Jesus. And then, the last verse of the chapter, Jesus increased, or Jesus grew, in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. We want to talk this morning about growing. We want to talk about growing as the Bible teaches us that we need to grow. We learn in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, the last verse of 2 Peter, last thing that we have recorded that Peter wrote for us in the New Testament, but grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. We want to grow like Jesus grew. We learn a little bit about the fact that he did grow in Luke chapter 2, verse 52. And so we want to take those things, those ideas, those two verses, and think about how do you and I grow? Let's before we actually look into some specifics about that, let's think about some introductory ideas. And in regard to that, if we're going to grow like Jesus grew, and if we're going to grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, like we're told in 2 Peter 3, before we grow in grace, we must be in grace. We've got to be in grace in order to grow in grace. We do not grow into grace. We do not grow and become into grace. We grow in grace because we have put ourselves in grace by Jesus Christ. And we understand that there are steps that you and I need to take to find ourselves in the grace of God. We must be in grace. We must be a child of God. We must be a Christian before we can grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. We must identify with Jesus Christ before we can grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. We must wear the name of Jesus Christ before we can grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. Because outside of Christ, we are dead in sin. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And again, all this is introductory as we're going to move to some specific ways that we need to grow. But as we look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, the first sentence says, you he has made alive. Well, who has been made alive? Who were dead in trespasses and sins. You see, we cannot grow if we are dead in trespasses and sins. We cannot grow in grace until we are in grace. We cannot grow outside of Christ. It says, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. We cannot grow outside of the grace of Jesus Christ. We cannot grow outside of wearing Christ's name. Because outside of Christ, we're in sin. If we're not in grace, we're in sin. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that if we're in sin, we are dead in sin. And we are dead in trespasses. You know, it's my understanding that dead things don't grow. You can go down to the lumber yard and you can pick out the finest 2x4 you can find. It can be straight, it can be exact, it can be of the nicest wood that is. It comes from any forest in the world. Take it home, dig a nice hole in the ground, plant that 2x4, put it in the ground. It will not grow. In fact, it will rot. It will not grow. Get a rock. Plant it in the ground. Plant it in nice, fertile ground. I mean, anything growing this North Alabama red clay, I know. But go and find you some really good dirt. And plant that rock in that really good dirt. Water it. Fertilize it. And guess what? It won't grow. Dead things don't grow. Things that have no life do not grow. So if we are dead in sin, we cannot grow in sin. But we can grow in Jesus. And we can grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. And God, in His marvelous plan of salvation and His marvelous love for us, has made the means possible for you and I, even though we are dead, to still get in Christ, to grow in Christ, and to know the grace of Christ and be blessed by the grace of Christ. In fact, when you look at that text that we were reading a moment ago in Ephesians chapter 2, and you keep reading, you know, verse 1 says we're dead in trespasses. Why? Because verse 2, we once walked in them according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. And you keep reading there, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Remember, we're told to grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. Well, how do we get from being dead and can't grow, dead in sin and can't grow, to the point that we are in the grace of Jesus Christ, and then we can grow, and we can grow in the grace of Jesus? Well, by grace we are saved, yes, but it's an obedient response to the grace of God. If you would, turn to Romans chapter 6. And look at Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 3. Romans chapter 6 tells, or really, begin at verse 2. Romans chapter 6, verse 2 says, how shall we who died to sin live any longer therein? There's a key there. We can die to sin. We're dead in sin, but now we can die to sin because Christ died for our sin. We're dead in sin, but we die to sin because Christ died for our sin. And you keep reading in this text in verse 3, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized or were immersed into Jesus Christ were baptized where? Into His death. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, now here it is, even so we should walk in newness of life. We are dead. We are dead in sin. When we obey the gospel, and ultimately the Bible tells us here, when we are immersed into the name of Jesus Christ, we are buried, not because we are dead in sin, but because now we're going to die to sin, because Christ died for our sins. And the dead come to life. The dead in sin come to life when sins are washed away because of the grace of God and the grace of Jesus. And now that which was dead, my soul, my life, my future, my eternity, now becomes alive. And verse 5 says, I rise to walk in newness of life. Now I am ready to grow in the grace of Jesus. Now I am ready to grow like Jesus would have me to grow. Because I have gone from being dead in sin to being dead to sin because Jesus died for my sin. And now, because of my grace, because of His grace and my obedient response, I can grow in the grace of Jesus. Now, all of that is basically introductory. And we hopefully have set up our mind to be now ready to think about two very specific ways we can grow. And for our text, I want you to look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we're going to read a verse that will teach us, or mention for us, two ways that we can grow. Two ways that the Thessalonians were growing. Two ways that they needed to grow. Two ways that you and I need to grow, because we all need to grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. And when you look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, the first two verses basically are introduction. Paul is saying, it's Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's writing to Christians. He's writing to people who had been dead in sin but had died to sin by obeying the gospel, because Jesus died for their sins just like he died for ours. But you're reading, he's writing the Bible here. This book is being written to people in Thessalonica who once were lost and dead in sin, but because of hearing and believing and obeying the gospel, now they are alive in Jesus Christ. They had risen from the waters of baptism to walk in newness of life. And as they're walking in that newness of life, key in on verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. There are the two ways we're going to talk about for the next few minutes that we should grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. Faith and love. That's how the Thessalonians were growing. They were growing in faith, and they were abounding or growing in love. And if that's how they needed to grow, that's how you and I need to grow. And it's all based on the grace of God, because when you look back up to verse 2, it says, grace to you and peace from God, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So as the grace and peace is extended to them, and as the Apostle Paul is remembering these people that he had taught, he says, I thank God for you always, and this is fitting. Why? Because your faith is growing exceedingly, and the love of every one of you is abounding toward each other. Well, that should make an awfully good description of any congregation of God's people at any time. Would it not be a blessing to know that Maston Lake Road is a congregation that is growing in faith and growing in love for one another, growing in the grace of Jesus Christ? Is it not a blessing to know that every congregation of God's people spread all throughout the world could be described this way? That we all collectively can grow in faith, and we all collectively can grow in love. And yet also we have to make this very personal to understand that not only should this describe a congregation, not only should this describe a group of God's people, wherever they be meeting, Maston Lake Road or wherever, what about me as an individual? What about me just singularly? Am I growing in faith? And am I growing in love? Am I growing in the grace of Jesus Christ? This should describe, yes, us as a congregation, but it also should describe each and every one of us as an individual Christian. There was thanks to God, as we break this down, two areas here, faith and love. And we think about faith first in the order that we find these in the text. There was thanks to God that the Thessalonians were growing. And I want you to notice the text again. It says, I'm thanking God because your faith grows exceedingly. Your faith grows exceedingly. That's a statement that ought to cause us to have some reflection on our own faith. Is my faith growing? Is my faith growing exceedingly? Is my faith growing at a level that I am learning something and putting it into practice, spiritually speaking, on a regular basis? Not just I have faith. We're talking about two or three different levels here. You know, there's the person who says, "Well, I have faith." There's the person who is saying, "Well, I have faith and I think it's growing." And there's a person who says, "I have faith and it's growing, and I hope it's growing exceedingly." There's the idea expressed in that of there's bigger and biggest. What are we shooting for? It's great to have faith. No one, I think, would be reprimanded for having faith. And certainly it's great to have faith that's growing. But do we have faith that's growing exceedingly? How much work are we putting into our faith and making sure that our faith is growing? Let's think about a couple of things. Let's think about our faith growing in knowledge and maturity. Does our faith grow in knowledge? Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says that faith comes by hearing, and you know the rest of the verse, I think, and hearing by the Word of God. So if my faith is going to grow, I've got to hear the Word of God. I've got to read the Word of God. I've got to study the Word of God. And I've got to do this as an individual. You know, if you think coming and listening to a couple of sermons and a couple of Bible classes a week is sufficient for your faith to grow exceedingly, then I encourage you, think again. You're not getting very much. You're getting, hopefully, quality lessons when you hear Bible classes and sermons, wherever they may be and whoever may teach or preach them. But 4 hours a week, less than 4 hours a week, I'm not sure that I'm prepared to say that you are growing, and I'm certainly not sure I'm prepared to say that I would be growing exceedingly. How many of you are ready to hop on a plane and fly overseas with a pilot who only studies 4 hours a week and went to school 4 hours a week for pilot school? How many of you are ready to learn calculus? Well, probably nobody. But how many of you are ready to learn something like that from somebody who only puts a few hours a week, less than 4 hours a week, into even studying it themselves? Are you going to learn much? See, what am I willing to put into my heart and mind that my faith may grow? And I've got to pick up this Word of God more than just when I come to the church house. And I've got to read and study this Word of God on my own as an individual, that my faith may grow in knowledge. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more truth I know, and the more truth I learn, and the more truth I believe, the bigger and better and broader my faith will be. The more truth I learn and the more truth I believe, the more my faith will grow and grow exceedingly. And also our faith should grow in maturity. Look back at the book of Ephesians again for just a moment. And look at Ephesians chapter 4. And listen to something in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It says, "He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Why? "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Till what? "We all come to the unity of the faith." We're talking about faith. "And of the knowledge We're talking about our faith growing in knowledge and now in maturity. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're talking about growing in maturity. Our faith growing in maturity. Why? That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness, deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all the things into Him who is the head, Christ. You see, our faith needs to grow in maturity. We don't need to be children in our faith forever. Yes, there's a point at which we would be designated as babes in Christ. There's a point at which our spiritual knowledge and understanding of the truth and maturity would be minimal. But it doesn't need to stay there. We don't need to be like the 2x4 that's planted in the ground. It won't grow. It will just rot and die. We need to be growing in knowledge, and yes, we need to be growing in maturity, no longer children. But because we have a knowledge of the Word of God, we are not just blown about by every wind of doctrine and everything that every man may carelessly or even falsely say, but we have an understanding of what the truth is. And because we know what the truth is, we believe what the truth is, and we can discern when it's true and when it's not true. We can discern the difference between truth and false. And we're no longer children. We're no longer immature. We're no longer babes in Christ. We're no longer tossed about like a leaf in the wind. But we have the maturity in our faith because it is growing, and it is growing exceedingly. You see, this will give us great confidence. As our faith grows, it grows in confidence. As it grows in knowledge and it grows in maturity, it grows in its confidence. Really, as you think about our faith growing, we're talking about growing in the grace of Jesus Christ. Two areas, faith and love. This first area of faith, we're talking about that faith growing how? In knowledge, in maturity, and in confidence. Really, confidence is part of the definition of faith when you look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, isn't it? But I want you to think about that from a standpoint that we trust God and we have confidence in Him and that we rely on Him for all that we do. Think about some people in the Bible who did that. In Romans chapter 4, verse 18, we read about Abraham. Romans 4, 18 says he, against hope, believed in hope. He's a man who had confidence in God. He's a man whose faith was growing exceedingly in knowledge and maturity and confidence. What about Paul? In Acts 27, after the shipwreck and the storm, during the storm, in Acts 27, verse 20, it says that he nor anyone on that ship did see the sun, the moon, or the stars for many days. His faith and the faith of all those people was challenged. But in Acts 27, 25, he could still say, be of good cheer. Why? Look at what he says. Acts 27, 25, be of good cheer. I believe God, and that it shall even be as was told me. Confidence. Faith that was growing exceedingly. The man who also wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which he has committed to me against that day. Faith, growing, and growing exceedingly, growing in the grace of God. But now let's also come back to our text in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, and see that we need to grow not only in faith, but also in love. Their faith was growing exceedingly in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. But I want you to notice also that the love of everyone abounded toward each other. Our love should grow, and we should grow when we grow in the grace of Jesus Christ in love. And we should grow in the love of Jesus when we grow in the grace of Jesus. You know, Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, Jesus said that there would come a time when the love of many would grow cold. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, Jesus speaks to the church at Ephesus once again. Actually, two letters to the church at Ephesus in the New Testament. There's the book we call Ephesians, and then there's the first eight or so verses of Revelation chapter 2. Another letter to the church at Ephesus. And in that letter to the church at Ephesus, they're commended for some things, but then Jesus says to the church at Ephesus, "Nevertheless, I have this against you." What? "You have left your first love." Their love had grown cold. Their hearts had grown cold. And so we need to be sure to avoid this kind of outcome, this kind of approach. You know, these were people who were Christians and faithful Christians, but they let their heart grow cold. They left their first love. And if we're not careful, it can happen to any one of us. And so we want to abound and grow in love as we grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, there are certain things that we need to put into practice in our lives as we grow in that love. There are certain ways that we need to approach this. And I just want to give you about five, kind of quickly, based on some scriptures, as to how we should be striving to grow in the love of Jesus Christ as we grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. Number one, Romans 8:35, we need to strive to grow in love until what? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword cannot separate us from that love. So we overcome those adversities, Romans 8:35. Secondly, we need to strive to grow in the love of Jesus so that every act that we perform in love is a labor of love. And look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We've been in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. But look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. And there they are commended for their labor of love. Not just labor, but labor of love. That's how we need to strive to grow in love. Number 3. We need to strive to grow in love, as Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 tells us, until every one of us are knit together in love. I'm not very good at knitting. In fact, I'm horrible at it. I can't do it at all. But I have an afghan that Granny Margie made me in 1976. It's red, white, and blue. And I think we could get two of the brawniest, strongest men you can find and have them grab two corners apiece of that afghan and pull and pull and pull. And I'm not sure they could ever pull it apart. You and I need to be knit together like that in love. That's the kind of love that we need to have. We need to grow, number 4, in the love that, as Jesus told us in Matthew 5:44, will pray for our enemies. That's love abounding. That's growing in the grace of Jesus, who said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," who loved his enemies. Like Stephen in Acts chapter 7, who said, "Lay not this sin against their charge." We need to grow till we love our enemies and we pray for them. Number 5, we need to grow and strive to grow in love, as 1 Peter 2, verse 17 tells us, that we love the brotherhood. We love everyone in the brotherhood. We love the brotherhood. And then finally, number 6, we need to grow in love, and we need to strive to grow in the love as we grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. As 2 Corinthians 5:14 tells us, that the love of Christ constrains us. Or as some translations say, the love of Christ compels us to do all that we do in the name of Jesus. That's how our love needs to grow. And so, now, with that faith and that love as objects that you and I need to learn to grow in, as we grow in the grace of God and grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, as we come back around to where we started, before you can grow in the grace of Jesus, you must be in the grace of Jesus. And so will the love of Christ compel you to obey the gospel? And as we think about love and faith and love, those who don't grow in faith won't grow in love, and vice versa. And I think that it's not too far afield. In fact, I think it's accurate to say that it's impossible to grow in love without faith. Without faith in Jesus Christ. And when we grow in the faith of Jesus Christ, both knowledge and maturity and confidence, when we grow in faith in Jesus Christ, we will grow in love for Him and for one another. And the love of Christ will take our faith and compel us to do all that we do for Him and in His name. I hope that this faith and this love will encourage and compel you to obey the gospel today, or to be restored to faithfulness today, or to ask for the strengthening of your faith and your love as you face the challenges of life. If you are in need of prayer, you are in need of help, if you are in need of Jesus and love and faith, would you come this morning as we stand and we sing?